Welcome among
and D-Rollist.
I am joined today by another fellow Germanic traveler, not from Austria, but from actual Germany, visiting us in London. Could you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, I'm Hanno, just taking a vacation in London, as I do quite often. Online, I'm mostly known for playing D&D and a bit of writing.
So you got a streaming show, you got blogs?
Not a streaming show, but we have the FAQ crew, which is uploaded to YouTube. So it's not a regular stream or anything, but we just record our games and put them on as is, with breaks and laughs and everything.
And you come from exactly?
Hanover, Germany.
Can you tell us a bit about Hanover? What is it like? I know, I've been. It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I've moved there in 2014 for work reasons. And it's a nice city, a bit big for my taste, but very nice, very green. Lots of things to do when you can find them. It is actually a nice place to live.
Are there a lot of tabletop RPG fans? Are there clubs and this sort of things?
None that I've found, but also I haven't been looking because I game in real life with my group of friends. I do have the online games and very good gaming store and a comic shop. So there's geeks around, but I'm kind of happy in my little bubble of geeky friends.
Yeah, it's tempting. I mean, when you got everything at hand, you're not always have the energy to outreach with complete strangers.
Yes, and I'm kind of an introvert, so...
The traditional question of the show is, what is tabletop RPG?
It's improvisation within a certain set of rules. You have rules that help you make up a story, and you do that collaboratively with your characters and somebody to guide the scenes. But it's definitely improv, especially the way I do it, and it's storytelling. My focus is more on the characters and the story than on mechanics and the big battle every time.
Speaking about how you do it, how did you come across the hobby? What was your first experience?
My first experience was after I reworked exchange here in the US in a different class, so different playing games are. And the people I connected with, and we started with trying Shadowrun. Two or three sessions where I have no idea what role. The DM said he didn't have the time to DM anymore, and I did.
And it was back in Germany?
It was in Germany, and I started playing in German, which now feels slightly odd.
We've been talking a bit about how some things like Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition took quite a while for them, well, the same in French, to be honest, to be available in German. So a lot of the audience was cut out from that. So what did you play in German? Was it an older version of Dungeons & Dragons or The Dark Eye? Or
like I said, I started with Shadowrun 3.01. After that came the Decipher Lord of the Rings game, which was short-lived, I think.
Oh yeah, Decipher. Wow, yeah, that seems
It was a fun game. It was my first big campaign I ever ran. And then I played a bit of The Dark Eye, which is the German D&D, but much more rules heavy. And when I went to university, I met some new people. And surprisingly, I also met some role players. And there was an ongoing D&D game in my dorm. And at some point I was invited, and that was 3.5. The books were mostly in German, but also some you couldn't get too easily were in English. So it was already this kind of mixture of German and English.
So you had a step in the English-speaking world already.
Yes.
I've been to MCM London Comic Con when Critical Role visited us, and there were really a lot of German or German-speaking critters there.
Yeah.
But what's the how popular do you think this hobby is in Germany, and what's the relationship of Germans with stuff in English? Because I know, for instance, in France, everything is dubbed, so they tend to stick to their language, and they don't have this practice of foreign language, while in the Netherlands, everybody speaks English. So what does it feel like in Germany?
I think there is quite a lot of interest. Germans, well, we do learn English in school, so there's already a connection pretty early on.
The French learn English in school, learn quotation marks.
Well, I learned French in school, but I shouldn't be speaking French. So with English, some stuff you can only get in English, and by now you can get it. Because in Germany before, everything is dubbed as well. So mainstream media is dubbed, which has been alleviated by DVDs.
that's how it sort of started in Belgium, in France also. That's when stuff started being available with subtitles.
Yeah, exactly. Which is nice, I think, because I prefer English to dubbing, if it's in English. Well, the internet made it even more possible to get this stuff like Critical Role, which is not dubbed, fortunately.
Well, it's you got something called Critical Role Translate.
Which is nice, which is really great, I think. The availability is there, and the D&D books released in English in Germany initially. So there's a lot of people who play with the English books. They might speak in German at the table, like my real-life game does. We speak mostly in German, but they are all English speakers to one degree or another, so it kind of gets mixed up.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like in French, you will say... je shift, which is for the fourth edition people. And shift is not a French word. It's
same. Or I would say, mach ein deck save. So I would use deck save in English, but make a would be in German.
Mach ein deck save. Yeah. I love the sound of that. At that event, the MCM London Comic Con, one German-speaking critter addressed the cast of Critical Role, and she said, thank you for making... the German accent cool to Liam.
Right.
Is this something you appreciated yourself, or you heard people being like, oh, German accent, that's not, that's a change from Inglourious Basterds, I guess.
It is. It's funny to hear it. He's doing a fairly good job, and trying a German accent isn't that easy, I think. Especially when I try to do a stereotypical German accent, I usually fail. But my English is... traveled and aged, so I don't even know what I sound like anymore. Somebody once described it as sophisticated Eurotrash, which I kind of like.
When I lived in Brussels, and most of the people I would spend time with, my friends there, they were from lobbying, administrations, etc. It's not official, but it was called Commission English.
Oh, nice. I like that.
When you're in Brussels, you speak English all the time, and you think you speak and understand English perfectly.
Right.
And when you move to London or any actual English-speaking nation, you realize that, no, you're good at speaking English with other people who use that as their platform to communicate.
Right.
So it's different to speak English with a Portuguese, a Spaniard, a French, and a Danes all at once than it is to speak it with a Scot and someone from the north of England.
Right.
Who are like, what? What are you seeing? Sarah? Oh, Sarah. You're like, that's the same word.
Yeah, that can be challenging, that's true.
Bereit für ihren Sturm durch die Flammen, Gefahren und Not. Ihr Bösen gebt Acht, denn schon bald seid ihr tot. Mit Talent und Magie sind sie hier, um zu siegen. Es ist Kämpf oder Flieh vor dem Monster dort drüben. Die Erlösung liegt vor dir, dein Ruf wird erscheinen. Die Entscheidung ist da und der Würfel gefallen. Klagen der Welt, durch das Böse gequält. Nun erhebt sich ein Held, es ist dein Wunsch.
Are there streaming shows which are especially popular in Germany, but which happens to be produced by Germans, either in English or German? Beside your own, of course.
Well, yes. Well, that one is international, because we have players from literally all over the world. In Germany, I don't really follow streaming shows. I follow Critical Role and the occasional one here and there, but I don't have the time to watch a lot. Unfortunately, I would like to watch more, but there is one. There is a German one, and they do... play different systems in German.
What's it called?
The channel is called Rocket Beans, and they do lots of content. They do let's plays, they do shows, interviews, and also the occasional role-playing stream. I haven't watched it, but a colleague of mine does, and he told me a bit about it. And apparently it's very fun.
I'm always curious about that from different countries. But of course, it's a window on the different cultures. I find there's two types of streaming and podcast shows like that. There are those which started a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They are what they are, and they might be popular or not. And then there are, what I've noticed more recently is that each country over the last year or maybe 2 years starting having people, I'm not saying their attentions are bad or anything, but they're clearly trying to emulate Critical Role.
Mm-hmm.
They really go for it.
Yeah.
They're professional, semi-professional. They got a studio and they really go for that. In France, it's Role and Play, or I think there was one called it's difficult to jump from a language to another. Aventure. So people know about those shows, but often they don't actually listen to them.
Right. They're professionally engaged. They just do it as part of content. So it's more of a stream. Just, they're just guys. They're not actors. You know, the Critical Role guys just have that acting background, which you notice a lot. These are just regular guys who sit around and try different RPG systems.
If I wanted to attune myself to German geekdom, what are the things which German RPG fans maybe reference all the time who happen to be German? Like Britons, it will be Monty Python or
right.
Red Dwarf. It
right.
doesn't have to be fantasy. Would you have stuff to recommend in German?
Wow, okay.
Beside The Never Ending Story, which, by the way, is, it's a German movie.
It is. Never Ending Story would actually be one. If we tend to get a bit silly around the table, surprise, there's Loriot. He is a German comedian.
Okay. Or do you spell that?
Loriot. It's an artist's name.
I will try to find it and head him to the show notes then.
Okay, yeah. And he has done some sketches, and sometimes just quotes do come out. It's like, it's not as silly as Python, but it had a similar standing.
And there's a kind of a geeky undertone?
No. It's more just general observational comedy. But still, it gets quoted. I mean, we don't have that much of a geek mainstream culture, I think.
It's funny because at the same time, as I was listening to your answer, suddenly memories come back of stuff. I was born in Belgium, so we
right.
share a border.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, there's the very traditional stuff. A lot of the fairy tales
are actually
German.
Yes.
And second, it came back to my mind a theme park called Fantasialand.
Oh, right.
It's different generation, slightly different, but at the same time, it's sort of fairy tale fantasy central.
Yeah, well, I haven't been. So I don't. Yeah, I mean, there's a rich culture of myth and fairy tales, as you said. That is true. And these creep in occasionally as themes, maybe. That's very accurate. But yeah, we don't have these shows that would be influential. I mean, there has been some German sci-fi. Raumpatrouille Orion, Space Patrol Orion, which was made in the 60s. They have very interesting sets. For example, you can definitely see an iron as part of a console. Let's say it wasn't Star Trek.
Let's call her your predecessor from Austria. She was telling me that in Austria what was popular with kids was, I think in Germany was called Captain Future.
Yeah.
France was called Captain Flam, so a Japanese
right. I know the
cartoon.
Show.
Is it? What did you watch as a kid?
Only very little. I didn't watch too much TV as a kid. My parents kind of were careful with that. What I was into as a kid hugely was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
But that's, again, that it was all American spillover. And some French cartoons as well, or Japanese, whatever was on. But mostly it was not German. So my cultural background is not as traditionally German as maybe that of others.
I'm trying to remember if I remember any German cartoon when I was a kid. I remember a Polish cartoon with a mole.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We had that as part of a show for kids that was The Sandman, which ran basically before bedtime. And they sometimes had that in there.
I wonder if the same Sandman is in France. Was he with a bear?
No, it was a figure, a real small figure.
Oh, okay.
And there used to be two. We had one for West Germany and East Germany.
Okay.
And after the reunification, they were kind of ran alternately, I believe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's fascinating that you had two different. So it was the same show?
It was pretty much the same show. You had a kind of introduction, then you had a cartoon or whatever, and then you had an ending. And it was just, the figure was slightly different, and the theme was a bit different, but that's it.
What about novels and comics? Anything there in Germany?
We do have, for example, Marcus Heitz, who wrote The Dwarves.
Oh, really?
For example, yeah. And quite a bit of fantasy and vampire novels. He's very pretty good. We have, last name is Holbein. He writes fantasy and horror novels that are also good to read. Well, I mean, we have Michael Ende, The Neverending Story, and Momo.
I know of The Neverending Story, but did he write a lot of other books?
He did. He was quite prolific. And they are all in kind of a fantasy direction. Fantastical rather than fantasy.
I know nothing about him. So,
right. Well, for example...
Is he old?
I think he's already passed.
I mean, he's not like Tolkien from the very early...
Roughly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he started publishing post-World War II. I'm not quite certain, and I'm pretty sure somebody's going to give me hell for this. But
well, it's fine.
Momo, for example, is set in the real world.
Okay. So.
But you have this girl who, first of all, she finds a talking turtle, and then she's pursued by the gray men who steal time from people. So it's kind of a fantastic realism.
Auf mal wieder her. läuft alleine über den Friedhof. Sie läuft alleine durch die Nacht. Sie hat keine Angst vor Monstern. Die werden einfach kalt gemacht. Dunkel Zeiten, hinter jeder Ecke steht ein Finster Gesicht. Hinter jeder Ecke lauern dunkle Gestalten. Hinter jeder Ecke ist auch mal wieder hin. Ist auch mal wieder hin. Ist auch mal wieder hin. Ist auch mal wieder hin.
About RPG publishers and maybe tabletop RPG setting, because we keep mentioning the Darkheim, because it turns out to be a very popular game. Well,
it is.
Maybe not the most popular game in France, but a lot of slightly older players started with the Darkheim,
right.
Because it was a box set and everything, and I think it was distributed by a board game company, so for some reason you found it in shops.
Nice.
There was tie-ins with... Be the hero of your adventure types of books. What are the Modifius and the Cubicle Seville of Germany?
Well, we have Pegasus, would be probably the biggest. Did they publish The Dark Eye by now? They might, which is up to its fifth edition, so that's going strong. There's some extra content. When Pegasus had the rights to Call of Cthulhu, they had German material that was just made for Germany. I don't think we have too many big publishers.
Mm-hmm.
Pegasus would probably be the hugest one. There are a lot of smaller creators as well. There are some very nice small games you wouldn't necessarily... You can get online, for example.
Such as?
There is one that is called NIPAJIN.
Okay.
Comes to... Nobody's perfect, but everyone is somehow useful.
Okay.
And this is a kind of a D6 small game, like Honey Heist or something like that. It's fun. There's one in translation would be Plush, Power and Plunder, where you play living toys.
Oh, nice.
That is also very cool. And then there are some kind of adaptions. For example, Call of Cthulhu, the back then editor-in-chief in Germany, did a pirate conversion.
Okay.
Which is fun. A lot of fun. I've played that, and with him actually, because I've met him. And he did one that is called Cthulhu, where you play as cats.
I've run that actually. Is it German? Or?
I think it was made by Frank Heller, and he was the editor in chief for a while.
Cthulhu is not such a big game, but actually in the supplement they made with a bit of lore specific to Cthulhu. Apparently the author, they took the time to go to different authors from different countries, because I already interviewed someone from Italy who wrote a bit about Rome and the cats in the Colosseum and such things. What was I thinking? Tired. That's what happens when you jump straight into your lunchtime. I got my lunch there. I should be eating it. I mean, is there any subject you want to throw us into?
I mean, I want to give a shout out to my FAQ crew, which came about via Critical Role, because one of my real life players told me about it. We were both watching Titan's Grave, and he said, well, they do have this other role playing show, which is longer. So he said, check it out, and I did. And then because of that, I joined Twitter. And then Kat Winslet, another cat, she is KW Wins, so she's from Australia. And she said, well, we have some people here who have never played D&D and would like to try, who would be interested in DMing that online. I was like, sure. And so me and another DM who volunteered, because there were like 11 or 12 people who were interested, and then we kind of split them up by region. So he took the Americans mostly. And, well, I have Kat, who's from Australia, Leslie, I lived in a cake, who's from New Zealand,
they're from, but are they still based there? I'm asking because I know time zones is
they still all live where they're from. Alika, KFox Alex is from India. Janos Akamador is from Switzerland. Emalia Patatius 36 is from the Netherlands. And I'm from Germany. So we play Saturdays at 8 a.m. for me.
So 8 a.m. GMT plus one, then that would be?
GMT plus one, exactly. We have Leslie in the evening because it's 10 to 12 hours difference. That's kind of the only time slot that works. But we have been going for over 2 years now.
Wow.
Two and a half years, I think.
You play and broadcast it live?
That's a YouTube one.
That's
so
YouTube?
We just have recording running when we play. And then we just put it up as is. So, you know, when we have breaks, it just keeps rolling because I'm not adept at editing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I'm lazy.
That's editing is a lot of time.
It's just crazy. It's for us, mostly. We play, and if somebody enjoys watching it, wonderful.
You mostly document your game, and you have a memorabilia of what you did.
Exactly.
When you run your game, when you prepare your session, you don't put a significant amount of thinking into the audience or offering a sort of an arc or things like that?
We do have a story arc. Because it's a campaign, I do like to run a story arc for the players mostly.
Yeah, yeah.
We do a recap at the beginning, but that's about it. So, yeah, but the story is just an arc by itself.
I experimented when I was mastering Star Trek.
Right.
That's probably the only time I managed to master a campaign with working arcs, I'm going to say,
nice.
I call that. But I structure it as seasons. Is it something you do as part of your show?
No, it's just an ongoing plot. All the players go, and sometimes they do something I didn't expect, and then I go with that. We had a first campaign which took them to Curse of Strahd. So I ran that module for a while until there was a TPK in Castle Ravenloft.
Okay, nice.
It happened.
Well, at least it gives you a conclusion.
Yeah.
You can move to the next season, which is the new group.
Right. And then they wanted to keep playing, which was a relief. They made new characters. We did start at level 7. That's where their old characters died. New characters, same world, but a completely new story.
Still in Barovia.
No, not that. So they would have eventually returned to my homebrew world.
Okay.
Then it would have continued past level 10. But this way, I just, okay, you start back in Starfall, my main city. You are new characters and you will have a new adventure, which by now has led them to a deal with an archdevil, and they are now on a previously undiscovered continent.
Cool.
So it went.
How do you manage that level 10? That's quite high already. Has it become very political?
It should have become that, but because of player actions, they kind of forced my hand or the hand of one of the baddies. So he had to reveal that he's working for an archdevil.
Okay.
And now they're on this exploration mission. And I mean, higher levels just means I can throw more at them. I mean, lower levels are fun because everything can be a huge challenge or dangerous and exciting. At higher levels, you kind of have to see what you can do to them to keep it interesting.
The world and the people they encounter sort of leveled up with them.
The challenges do. A villager is still a villager. They don't get more powerful just because the players are.
So they could still annihilate a complete town with their powers and abilities. Hopefully they're not like that.
No, they are not, fortunately. But yeah, well, small towns, probably. Bigger towns, you would just have issues with the watch and the military. And if there's enough of them, that would not be possible. Yeah, but I do want to get them to level 20 eventually to make it nice and round. But I'm not telling what's going to happen. They might listen.
Sunshine day with my head cold. You some should be told. Let him love, let him cry. He's my butterfly.
I remember what I was trying to think about. I don't know if you've seen, you mentioned Call of Cthulhu. Chaosium released a supplement dedicated to Berlin recently.
Yes, I saw that. I haven't looked at it, I have to say.
Did German players hear about it and did they have strong opinions about it?
I don't know, because my involvement in the RPG community is mostly in the English-speaking side.
I see.
I know there are wonderful German role players, but I'm not really following the social media on that. But I'm pretty sure if they put it out, they would have put thought into it. There has been one before, which was very good. Call of Cthulhu used to be excellent in German because they did extra stuff. They got the rights, they translated, and they put additional stuff on.
Sounds like what they did in France for stuff like Legend of the Five Rings was the same.
Nice. I might have to look at it, but I don't have enough time to play everything I want.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Unfortunately, I would love to just play a lot and different systems.
Being engaged in the community is already a lot of work. So when you engage with the English-speaking community, myself, I'm not that engaged in the French-speaking one.
Right.
I joined recently some Discord of French podcasters, and the truth is I'm out of steam, and because of, you build up a foundation of knowledge of people and what is going on, so you easily interact within the English-speaking community.
Yeah.
And when you join another community, which is completely different, you actually don't know anyone and don't have your reference, so it's quite challenging.
It is.
The other classic one game, which in my experience other countries has got bolt-on additions, was Vampire the Masquerade. Have you ever played it, and are there German supplements to that?
I have played, I think, third edition.
Don't ask me, I'm completely lost with the edition. I know the one I played and I know the one which is out.
Yeah, so then what was Vampire the Masquerade, which was re-released as a Kickstarter, I believe, for the 20th anniversary. It was fun. I did love my character. We did play with German books, but it was set in London.
Okay, so you were not playing, because in France they had a magazine published something called Paris by Night.
There's also Berlin by Night, I believe. But that campaign was set right here, just because it lends itself, I think a huge metropolis kind of lends itself to being a vampire.
Trying to think of another question. I did not prepare today. I had a very work-busy week.
Right.
What are your RPG projects? Are you considering new campaign with D&D or other games you'd like to run, especially for your crew online?
Well, I would like to run all of them. My two D&D games are still kind of in the middle, so that has time. I am planning something.
I'm curious, when you say you are in the middle, how long ago did you start it? I'm in the middle because I started 3 years ago or before I started 3 months ago?
I know, the real life game started, I think, end of 2016. But they are now level 9.
So if you're in the middle, you're planning on sort of completing that by 2022?
Yeah, I mean, if possible. By then, the kid, two of my players had, then probably can't walk and talk. Yeah. No, I want to just conclude the story. And I have a rough plan up to level 20 because of who they will face at the end. So I just kind of want to conclude the story. And it probably will take 2021, yeah. But I do have a new project in the works. kind of adaptation of Delta Green. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of it's Call of Cthulhu based.
Is it the most recent one, the full of Delta Green one, or the old Delta Green?
I went to the older one, okay. Yeah. Because I have played that, so I don't have to read up too much.
You know what? I'm a stick in the mud. I tend to like the stuff which were out when I was starting in the 90s, so I'm completely with you there.
So I kind of want to adapt that into more of a fairy tale inspired thing.
Delta Green, but with the Dreamlands?
Yeah, or, you know, drawing from Fables and Grimm and Once Upon a Time. But there's still this secret organization that takes care of issues arising from fairy tale creatures coming into this world.
So you go there and you shoot fairies?
Maybe, or, you know, when they come over and cause trouble. You know, if you have the big bad wolf coming to your town, you might want to do something about that.
That sounds excellent.
Yeah, I'm still in the playtesting phases, but I'll get there.
Are you planning to draw inspiration not only from the original fairy tales, but also some stuff like video games or TV shows?
Definitely. For example, Grimm or Once Upon a Time are TV shows. The comics, Fables, which are perfect for that. Whatever else comes my way. Inspiration can be everywhere. If you just keep your eyes open, it's like I can use this for something completely different from context, but it still works.
What was the name of that video game by Telltale?
The Wolf Among Us.
The Wolf Among Us.
That is also based on the comics Fables.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, yeah, of course.
Also, there was one by American McGee. I think it was called Grimm. There you had to kind of turn fairy tales that had been sanitized back to their original dark versions. It was pretty fun.
So you de-Disneyfy the fairy tales.
Yeah, because especially looking at Cinderella, for example. The end in the original fairy tale is pretty gruesome, with cut off feet and burning coals and so on. And you don't have that in the Disney version. Yeah, so I'm working on that. I got the idea by watching a movie, Into the Woods. There was a scene, and I was like, that reminds me of something, because you have that giant coming into the world from the beanstalk and just flattening trees. In my head, it just went, what if a giant had caused the Tunguska event? And who would look into that? And from there, the idea developed.
There's a bunch of nice inspiration. At the moment, I'm geeking out on watching Lindsay Ellis and the Nerd Writer. Mm-hmm. They looked into movies and the way they made and they tell a story.
Oh, nice.
And I recently watched the one about Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
A beautiful inspiration also in terms of how the real world and the fantasy world overlap. And now you tell a grim story. I really recommend to check The Nerd Writer about Pan's Labyrinth.
Thank
because
you.
It actually starts talking about Disney and the original fairy tale and how Guillermo del Toro tried to put Disney on its head by doing what he does. Brought to my mind also another excellent movie, Trollhunters.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that one.
I think I have, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm always... The problem with Scandinavian country, I'm never sure if they're from Norway, Sweden, or I think it's from Norway, but might be.
I was about to suggest Sweden, but somewhere around.
Either way.
Scandinavia.
For people, if you have not seen it, Trollhunter, it's what if trolls did exist in Norway or Sweden right now, and there were people trying to cope with them? Let's say if your player should tune off there. What would be your first story, you think? Do you have already, you know which fairy tale you would start with, or
not quite. I have worked on the organization for now, and I would start with an introduction. So when they are recruited, so they would have in their backstory some kind of mysterious event they witnessed, and from there they would be recruited to. I was also considering basing them in England, maybe underneath Stonehenge. For a bit of flavor.
Come on, go Germany. You should be proud of your culture and your history.
Oh, they would definitely get...
It's fairy
they would
tale.
Definitely go there. Actually, the Piper of Hamelin would make a nice start.
Yeah.
You know, children disappearing, which is always a good motivation for characters. And then you have this hypnotic Piper that... Actually, thank you.
Go German. It's a German organization. Maybe now it's overlooked by Interpol or Europol.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that the Grimms founded it.
Make it continental. You know what? Put Brexit in it. The British section removed itself, which is creating a lot of issues.
I like that.
No terrestrial bird.
Time to move to the traditional homage to the Weekly Planet. What are you reading and what are you going to read?
So what I just finished watching before I went on holiday was Lucifer season 4.
Oh.
Because I hated the cliffhanger at the end of 3, so I was glad we got 10 more episodes. I picked up several books here already. I'm currently reading Anno Dracula, which is a continuation of the Dracula story. So he would have survived and in the 19th century became the husband of Queen Victoria.
Okay.
And now there's a vampire society ruling Britain.
Which turns out to be German, if I remember my history correctly.
That is correct. There is 5 books, I think, but I saw the first one and I was like, this sounds interesting. And it's well done so far. I enjoy it.
I've got a lot of gears grinding in my head thinking, okay, so if Victoria's husband, who I can't remember his name.
Albert
was Dracula.
No. After he died. He died before her.
Okay.
And she remarried.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the actual Vlad Tepes, Count Dracula, who married Queen Victoria after her husband passed.
Okay.
It's an interesting concept and well written. I haven't memorized the name of the author yet, but it's called Anno Dracula. And of course, I'm looking forward to the Good Omens show that is coming out soon.
So yeah, that would be your what are you going to read?
Yeah.
My own, what am I reading? I already told about it. I'm watching a lot of Lindsay Ellis, who did a series called The Full Plate, where she looks into different theories, stuff relating to cinema, applying them specifically to the Transformers saga on screen. Questions like, is Michael Bay an author? Is the male gaze into Transformers? Yeah, a bunch of questions which are somewhat kind of intellectual and apply to something which is the Transformers saga, which is not exactly So, but it brings up interesting questions. And she's got other stuff which are extremely interesting. And then the nut writer, which is, I mentioned the Pan's Labyrinth one. Lindsay Ellis did one about setup and payout. So how you foreshadow things and then they pay out in the end. And she did one about Mad Max Fury Road, which is very good. The nut writer did one about somewhat the death of the superheroes, about Logan. It was the end of a cycle.
Yeah.
Even one about painting. So he did. I just watched one about In Bruges.
Right.
Fascinating. And a lot of stuff about painting in Bruges, the paintings you see and the Christian iconography. And he did one about an actual painting, Kronos devouring
his children.
I didn't know the story behind this painting.
Okay.
It's truly fascinating. Like the fact that it's part of a sort of a collection and Goya painted them in his house when he was sick and living in his house. And he sort of painted them on his walls with no plans whatsoever to ever show them to anyone. It was his thing and they're very dark and grim. It's truly fascinating, yeah.
Nice. I shall take a look.
What am I gonna read is sort of, you gonna, quotation mark, read London because you're here for a week.
Yes.
So what are your plans for your week in London?
Well, today I'm gonna walk the South Bank, which is just a lovely place, I think. Tomorrow will be D&D. I'm running a one-shot.
With friends or?
At my friend's place where I'm staying, yeah.
Oh, he's got a big place.
She has a house, yeah.
Wow, impressive.
With a guest room, so it's not in London, it's a bit outside, so I'm going to run a game for them, her gaming crew. I can tell you because this won't be out till after.
Oh, ages.
We will be doing my take on Die Hard in D&D.
In D&D?
Yes.
Hmm.
I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I'm looking forward to it. So they will be invited to a wizard's bank.
Are you going to put that online?
No, it will just be living room D&D.
Okay, so no link for anyone.
No, sorry. They will be in a bank tower owned by a wizard they know. And then the robbers will come. Their weapons would have been taken away at the beginning. So they will have to make their way through and hopefully throw the big bad out of a window.
It's a nice twist on the idea of a dungeon also.
Yeah.
Your big tower dungeon and you're in there, but you start with not much.
Yeah, not really monsters, but actual worked out characters as opponents.
I feel compelled, speaking of visiting London and geek stuff. It's going to be way too late for the Kickstarter, but I've been exchanging messages with someone London-based who's publishing something called
London Master's Guide. I saw that today on my train ride, and I was like, that sounds good, and if I have money left over after the holiday, I will get on it.
Hopefully it will be successful and people can push it. So it's I haven't had time to watch it properly, but it's a guide of London, right? So actual places with quotation mark, actual legend or stories.
Yes, but with a kind of D&D twist.
Okay.
I think the concept sounds great, so I wish them all the best.
Well, maybe I will have him on the show at some
time. That would be cool, would be nice. Yeah.
Anything to add, saying goodbye to the listeners of the Release Podcast?
Probably also be too late, but Cowood Publishing is doing another Kickstarter for Monster Book, and the first one is just awesome. So I recommend looking at that. It's Monsters of Feyland. It's the initial one. You can get it also now in different online shops. The art is gorgeous, and the monsters are just very clever.
I will put a link, and I'm sure, hopefully the Kickstarter will be successful.
It looks good.
And people can make post end of campaign pledges and backers kit and so on. Thank you very much for visiting us.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for listening to this episode. See you next month. And in the meantime,
have good games.
This episode included Monster featuring Kruder Miskung by Kielobot, The Fairy by PK Jazz Collective, Pentagram by Bjorn Genzer, and of course our theme song, Soldat Ofrengo by Bondedoro. All these songs are available for free download on the Free Music Archive. The Free Music Archive is going through some changes, so all the features there are not available. Made the search for the songs a bit difficult, which is why some of the songs are a bit long. I apologize, Bruce. if you're listening. I know you don't like it when the songs are a bit long, but yeah, it was a bit difficult to find them as it is. And I learned a new expression, kraut rock. So kraut, like in sauerkraut, rock. Apparently it's a East German inspired type of rock. And yeah, so these are the sort of things you discover when you browse the Free Music Archive. You would have also noticed that we had yet another version of Your Turn to Roll. I hope you're not getting bored of these, but yeah, I just love hearing translated versions by fans across the world. I think it's quite cool. This one, thank you very much to W20 Show. Thank you very much to them for allowing me to use their cover. I haven't seen content in English on their YouTube channel. There might be. It's linked in the description of this episode. Please go there and at least go give thumbs up to their video of their German cover of Your Turn to Roll. The logo of the Rollist podcast is designed by Roland Kunz, and you can find this logo and more art by Roland Kunz on the store of the Rollist podcast. You can have t-shirts, mugs, even cushions if you like. And if you buy a cushion, please send me a picture because I would really like to see that in your interior. So last month I said I had to double check whether or not I had read the review of Large Fry's Star Wars. It seems I didn't. So here it is. Large Fry's Star Wars. Never ending story. Has it finished yet? Great content. Really interesting to hear about other gamers playing with their kids as I do. Passing the gaming craft onto our kids is great as we live in such a digital world now. Seeing the never-ending story in the cinema myself as a kid was great. It was the film that seemed so real and really pulled you into the story. All considering the extremely high fantasy team. Thank you very much, Large Fry Star Wars. My nose blocked now. Thank you very much. I think it's quite appropriate to have a review relating to our film studies about Neverending Story, since we discussed a bit of Michael Ende in this episode, who was a German author. I don't think enough people realize Neverending Story was produced in Germany and it's based on a German novel. I should read that. I should probably read the Neverending Story and Momo after it was recommended not only by Hanno in this episode, but also in our episode recorded in Barcelona. So yeah, Michael Ende seems to be quite a reference. Maybe he stands up there next to Tolkien and Moorcock. Another author I haven't read, I should read. I wish I had time to read. It's busy at the moment. If you support us through Patreon, you will have access to bonus content like Café Rollist. We release a lot of these as part of RPG A Day, and I'm a bit behind with releasing them at the moment because I'm just too busy editing other stuff. I mean, just organizing the D&D for mental health, releasing that content. Now I'm releasing this episode, and some of you will be happy to hear that our next episode will be an actual play. It will be an actual play of Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition. Finally. The only problem for me is that actual play means a lot of work for me. But the next episode, the recording went very well, and I cannot wait to release that first part. But it's going to be a lot of work. Hence why I'm a bit behind with the Café Rollist itself. Although it's not supposed to take a lot of time. But yeah, every minute of my evening count at the moment. It's taken by taking care of my son. And my commute from work is a bit long, and it doesn't really allow me to work on stuff because it's a lot of interchange. Anyway. Yeah, Patreon. You know, the next goal for the Patreon is improving the website. I'm squirreling money to finally do that. I apologize for the delay it's taking. But the next goal is to help me record a series of episodes dedicated to RPG shops. And I say series because I would mean like a regular, at least one per year, if not two per year, dedicated to an RPG shop starting with London. But in the meantime, I recently went to Lyon. If you follow me on Instagram, you might have noticed it. And I went to a very renowned French RPG shop there. And I recorded an episode there. So I'm going to take a few months before I release it, especially since the actual play, as often, will be a three-parter. And again, it's a lot of work. But I had a great time visiting Trollune in Lyon. and even run into some people you haven't heard on the show for a while. Anyway, speaking of running into people, please, please do join us at Dragon Meet at the end of November. I will be at the podcast zone and I will be roaming the halls. I've heard that it's going to be even bigger than last year, which was bigger than the year before, which was bigger than the year before. So it should be quite cool. And while it's getting bigger, I'm sure it will still be quite intimate and tabletop RPG focused. So if you want to meet people like Grant Howitt, Robin Delos, what's his name? The other Kenneth Hyde, the people doing other games, James Innes, maybe James Wallace for sure. And probably, well, most of the people you heard in our recent Dragon Meet episode, and me and other podcasters, Dragon Meet is definitely the place you should join us at. See you next month for some D&D actual play, and in the meantime, have a good game!
Holy! Holy! Solta o frango e vem com a gente! Holy! Holy! Holy!
Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigoduto na hora do piriri. Cai em mim outra vez,
vai batuque!
Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolê, rolê, rolê.
Hi, my name is Simona. I'm nice. From Germany.
Hey,
wow.
Met a lot of Germans.
So first of all, thank you, Liam, for playing a character with a German accent because it makes me feel so much more confident about speaking English.
Well, I am just glad that I could very awkwardly help you find confidence. Thank you for the wonderful accent to play with.
It was that German accent that made me fall in love with Liam. So maybe that'll work for you too.
Probably. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go cry in my seat now.
Oh.
I am.
Thank you.
I am sad to see you go because I could listen to you talk all day.
Ooh, yes.
More, more.
You'll find her.
More.
You'll just, find her.
Just wait until the sun goes down.
There's how, kids. There's kids.
Say Dusseldorf.
Dusseldorf.
Oh. Boy.